people like shudder when you start to use these words. It's biblical. So the word baptize literally means immerse. It means immerse. And so we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit where he's convicting us. We also have a relationship with the Holy Spirit where we receive the Holy Spirit. We take the Holy Spirit in. We drink of the Spirit. But in baptized with the Holy Spirit, it means immersed in the Holy Spirit. And in this context, it's not so much the Spirit in me as me in the Spirit. If you look at the Scriptures talk about filled with the Holy Spirit, at times it's we are filled. Other times in the Scriptures, the metaphor is that the room is filled. And it's like the Holy Spirit just encompasses all of us. In fact, it's interesting, the word baptize in Koine Greek is also used for the word pickle. I love that illustration. That you get pickled in the Holy Spirit. And if you are an egg, you're still an egg. But you take on all the properties and principles of the brine. If you're a cucumber, you're still a cucumber. But I can tell you, my mother-in-law used to make some mighty good pickles. And she turned those little cucumbers into something that you would die for. They were awesome because they got infused with the brine. And then I had a woman in my congregation who used to pickle beans and garlic and broccoli. And I begged her to bring me some. They were so good because it was infused. And the Bible talks about be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But there is this sense of alcohol. You're still you, but you don't act like you anymore. So too with the Holy Spirit. That when you're brined, when you're pickled, when you're immersed in the Holy Spirit. And in this one, it really is much more of the Spirit is all over.
Okay, good.
They will never forget. I do. You guys want to see that one? Who wants to see it? Thank you very much. You know, when I worked with adjudicated youth, we would go to various national parks or state parks in Wisconsin, and one of them was right on the border of the Mississippi. And we used to love this one because we would play in the Mississippi all day. And when you would play in the Mississippi, if you were in up to your ankles, you could go up and down and all over the place. If you got into your waist, you were over time moving the direction of the river. But if you got in and you were no longer touching the ground, if you were fully immersed, I mean, I swam Junior Olympics. I was a good swimmer. You cannot beat the Mississippi. That when you immerse in the Spirit of God, and here's where I think the systems fall down. We try to define a system by saying, you know, when does it happen? How much does it happen? What does it mean? What does it look like? And we build these systems. And here's the bottom line. If the Spirit is sprinkling you, pay attention. If you're thirsty, take a drink. If you're out on the beach running, I mean, you've been in the water, you've been in the middle of the river, but you've gotten tired in the river and you don't like where it's taking you and you don't want to go there again. And so you get out and you kind of play around on the shore and you start playing with sandcastles. Get back in the river. Immerse yourself in the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God might move you. It's fascinating. In Acts, you find these people who were saved and filled with the Spirit, again, having these moments of intense pickling in the Holy Spirit. Moments of faith to Jesus. A good friend of mine used to say, well, I actually wrote it. He said, you know what? You get as much of the Holy Spirit as you're ready for when you're ready for it. I love that. Okay. The second one is as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And for this, we're going to move into a time of communion. But let me talk about it a little bit, because I think communion is probably one of the best illustrations of as the Father sent me, so send I you. So Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, chose the bread, and he blessed the bread. And then he broke the bread, and he broke it so that he might be able to give the bread. Right? So Henry Nouwen says, Jesus is the bread of life. And the Father chose Jesus. The Father blessed Jesus. And the Father broke Jesus. So here's the gospel, folks. I know we always, you know, who killed Jesus? Well, it was the Romans. Oh, yeah. It was the Jews. Yeah. It was us. Yeah. Well, it's the gospel. It was the Father. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Isaiah tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord not because he's sadistic and wants to bruise his son, but because he wants the punishment paid so that he can be in relationship with you. Amen. Jesus was chosen, and he was blessed, and he was broken, that he might be given. But then Henry Nouwen says this, you're that bread too. God has chosen you. He's chosen you. We don't get in by our own will. No one comes to the Father except the Father draw him. And again, I'm not building a systematic theology. I'm just telling you that you can't be good enough for God. When you were unlovable, he loved you. When you were unredeemable, he redeemed you. He chose you. And when he chose you, he blessed you. He blessed you. And he continues to bless you. You are not an accident. You're a divine choice. It's been blessed. But here's the unfortunate or fortunate truth. He chose you and blessed you that you might be broken. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. I often don't like it, but the most transformative moments in my life have been in the ditch. And the all things plan of God says that even on your worst day, he's working to make you more like Jesus. We are chosen and blessed. And often, some of our own breaking is specifically so that we might be given. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, with the comfort you've received, comfort others. With what you've gotten, give. Now, I know there are times when we have treated communion like an altar call. And if you want to say yes to Jesus, if you've never said yes to Jesus, Jesus is offering his free grace. And I'm going to invite you to come and take that. But today, for those of you who are already known by the Lord, and because of that, you know the Lord, I'm going to invite you to this communion to be a moment of you not just receiving what he has done for you, but accepting the reason he's done it for you. He has chose you and blessed you that you might be broken to be given. This is I'm into the kingdom, Lord. I've been dancing around on the side, building my sandcastles, dipping my foot in the water every Sunday. It's nice. And if I feel particularly spiritual, I'll go on Wednesday night to Bible study. And the rest of the week, the river just goes on by. Father, we thank you for this symbol. And Lord, I count it all joy when I encounter various trials because I know you have a plan. You have a purpose. I know it produces patience and character and hope that never disappoints. So Lord, as we come to the table, hear our hearts. We receive your choice and your blessing. But we also receive what you need to do to give us, that we might be a vessel of your Spirit for your work as a kingdom outpost in the kingdom of God. Amen. There are two spots in the back. There's a spot up here. I'm not going to tell you which way to go because this thing messed it all up. If it takes you longer to get to the table, that's God's gift to you to take a little more time in reflection, what he's saying. Feel free to go back. Feel free to come forward. Feel free to sit. There's no judgment if you choose not to take communion. But if you take communion, you're saying yes to God. The table is open. Come at your will. Thank you. I apologize. I assumed you were all just going to take it as you got it. I'm waiting for Kent to come up here. He serves me his cup. Maybe the Lord just wanted to spend a little more time. This broken bread symbolizes Christ's broken body. And the invitation that he gives us to step into the life of carrying our own cross for the sake of the kingdom. Receive now his bread for you. He not only allowed his body to be broken, but he allowed his life to be taken. He said, "No one takes my life. I lay it down." He demonstrates that in his shed blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins for you. Amen.
Right. Communion is fellowship together. I appreciate Matt leading us in that. Matt, I would say Matt's very much two things. I don't know if you guys know this about him, but Matt's very much an outdoorsman. He used to teach rock climbing. He hiked 1,700 miles on the Appalachian Trail, almost 1,700. And he's going to go finish that hopefully this summer. We'll root for you. Okay. I've never been so glad for someone to fail at a goal as when we were in desperate need of an elder to come help us through a difficult time, and his feet started hurting so bad he had to quit the trail and was suddenly available. And I've never been so happy to send someone off to let you go into semi-retirement and finish that goal as well as others. Spend time with Lori. Get out of here. And we really appreciate that. The second thing, Matt, is an elder. Church was, the role of pastor was the senior guy who taught others and sort of grew into a more official capacity, but has always been the senior, mature guy in the church. And Matt is our elder. And we'll now go into senior retirement. So we got him this lovely t-shirt. Come up, you got to receive a t-shirt. We got a few tokens to say thank you as you go into semi-retirement. I don't know if you can read that. Retired pastors make their guys remember. There you go. We know you're not thoroughly retired. Well, you know, you'll be back to speak to us from time to time. We also got a card signed it. And for you guys out there, we tried to sneak around and get a lot of people to sign it. If you didn't sign it and want to, come get a pen. We're going to have a little reception after in the lobby and, you know, write on the envelope wherever you can find space, okay? There you go. So, Matt, thank you very much. Can I pray for you? Father God, thank you for bringing us Matt and Lori at just the time we needed them. I pray that the time here would be something that, you know, is always useful to him, is always something that he can look back on as times served very well in your kingdom. I pray that as they go out into the national parks and serve more, that they would reach souls for you, and they would always come back and see us here at home, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Slide up. I saved that second bucket. Ryan, come on up. So this is a time of pastoral transition, and we just want to be really clear about the transition. I'm moving into training pastor, which means I'll be here a month at a time, three times over the next year. I'll be doing some coaching with Ryan and some of the other board members during the time. I'll be, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I'm going to play. I'm going to go hang out with my grandkids. Yeah, other duties as assigned. Yeah. Ryan and I have co-pastored. So one of the things I've learned in 40 years of ministry is leadership matters. Amen. Leadership matters. It takes so many skills. You need to be compassionate. You need to be educated. You need to be able to communicate. You need to be able to make hard decisions. You need to be able to make merciful decisions. You need to be willing to be gossiped about. You need to be willing to be treated poorly by people that you give your all for at times. You know, no one ever told me in seminary the cheap bite, but they do. The challenge is when you have someone with all of those requisite skills, they can become ego-friendly. And one of the most critical criteria in my book for a godly leader is not just all that skill set, but one who brings to that skill set incredible humility. And Canvas Community Church, you, starting tomorrow, have a sole senior pastor who qualifies in all of those areas. I can't believe a 31-year-old kid. Kent asked me if I could kind of get up and do a pass the baton. And here at Canvas Community, we don't do things normally. So if you can click the next slide. How many remember Fred and Barney Rubble? We thought that it would be best for Ryan to have his own Grand Imperial Poobah of the Water Buffalo Lodge hat. I anoint you Grand Imperial Poobah. And for our pictures and take, we got it on video. All those people online did screenshots. And in our act of transition, what we would like to do is called the board and the staff. If they will come forward, and we're going to pray for Ryan as he leads God's church and leads us into the vision that he's called us to. Guys, come on up and just get close to him. Lay hands on Ryan. If you can't get to him, you can lay hand on someone who's behind him. And if two or three of you can just lead out loud in prayer, and then Kent, can you close us in prayer after two or three people lead?
Give him the wisdom, strength, and peace.
those of you who know the doxology, sing loud and proud with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's give an amen. Amen. Now unto Him who is able to keep you. Oh.
Kids gotta go first.
Okay, kids. See, don't you love a senior pastor who pays attention to details? You have been pickled and you are sent. Go in His nurture and His admonition. Amen.